Hey everyone, and welcome to the FC Yahoo podcast. We're going to do another mini set piece, I guess we're going to call these. But
I like it.
Here with Joey Galino and Alex Baker in the Playa Vista Studios.
Great to be back.
Yeah. Well, we didn't really go anywhere, but yes, we are here.
We went on an emotional journey.
Sorry,
I shouldn't interrupt you.
Why? It's like it's the premise of this podcast is you interrupting me.
Do you need me to come to your emotional rescue?
Yeah.
Well, we're here to talk about Champions League. I guess we should just get to the point. And the quarterfinals are upon us, which means eight teams remain. And here are the matchups. Sevilla versus Bayern Munich. Bayern should easily cruise through that one, but we'll get back to it. Juve versus Real Madrid, a rematch of last year's Champions League final. And Liverpool, Man City, probably the two best teams that match up in terms of Premier League this season. When we watch Liverpool play Man City, at one point, they completely undressed Man City. It was amazing. So that's going to be a fun matchup. And then finally, Barcelona versus Roma. This one's in a little bit more interesting, but we are going to talk about each one of these matchups. So let's start with Liverpool-Man City. Why not? Because I know that we got a couple Premier League heads in the house. Joey, what do you think about this matchup? What are you looking forward to?
This is going to be interesting because I think that while Liverpool has proven their credentials this year, and Mo Salah is in God mode and can score whenever he feels like it, it seems. He's been arguably the best player.
Luis Suarez mode is what I call it.
Luis Suarez mode.
Soon to be transferred to Barcelona mode?
Yeah, well, maybe. But, you know, Liverpool is...
Just sorry to interrupt. Can you imagine that? How awesome would that like lineup be if they just added... You know, they got Coutinho and... And it's like, let's just add Mo Salah to that speed.
Coutinho could be like the worst part of that attacking five or six. And you'd be like, when Coutinho is like your sixth best attacker, you're loaded. All right.
Getting back to what you were talking about.
Yes. Okay. Liverpool has proven their credentials, so I'm not doubting them. What I'm saying is this. In this particular competition, they have played, what, Sevilla, Maribor, Spartak Moscow, and Porto to this point. And this is kind of like, you know, that's like a bunch of like C level competition, if that high. And then now you're stepping up to the A level. I mean, I think we all agree that City is one of the teams that can well and truly win this whole thing. And I know they're familiar with them in the Premier League. I know they've played them tough in the Premier League. I know that those games have been wildly entertaining. And there have been moments where Liverpool looked the vastly better side. I'm not sure that Klopp playing 180 minutes of heavy metal football against City at this stage of this competition is going to work out well for them. Because while I like what they have and I like what they've done, they're not City. They can't attack like City. They can't play like City. I don't know. I think Liverpool is in – I know that it's weird. Liverpool knows Manchester City, but I also think they're in for a rude awakening, so to speak, in terms of this specific competition because they've not had a European matchup like that this year.
Yeah, look, it's hard to make a case against City. I will say that Liverpool has a better record in the Champions League this season. City's actually lost a couple games. I think they maybe were games where they'd already qualified.
One was when they already qualified, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but they lost to Shakhtar.
Napoli in their group when Napoli didn't lose for the first like 3 months or something.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean those matches, yeah. If you remember, Napoli is actually very reminiscent of the style that Liverpool plays. And Napoli matched up incredibly well. Like
they outplayed
City for a couple, like for the majority of both those matches, you could argue, they just kind of were sleeping in the beginning of the first leg, or I would say the first meeting, not leg, because it was a group stage. It was, you know what? I do think that particularly Liverpool really matches up well with Man City. And before this draw came out and when we were kind of getting into this, I was running around going, I hope it's Liverpool versus Man City. I want to see those two teams play either in the quarterfinals or semifinals because I really do think that it will be a really tough challenge because what does Klopp do with Liverpool? He presses. They attack. They do a lot of the same stuff that Man City does. They don't maybe possess the way Man City does, but it's almost perfect in terms of matching up with a team that likes to possess like Man City does to have a team that really presses and doesn't sit back and absorb pressure because they can't. So I think these will be wildly entertaining, high-scoring games. And I think both these managers, it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. But frankly, I mean, Liverpool's not playing for the Premier League top four. They're pretty much in there. Mm-hmm. I don't see them falling out. So all focus should be on the Champions League. And same for Pep, as much as I think they'll have claimed the Premier League trophy by then. They're just chasing, you know, points records at this point. But I think that when you look at these two teams in particular, I am incredibly excited because I think, you know, when you look at Mane and you look at just Mo Salah being just out of his mind and incredible, and Firmino, the way they all just link up, and a little bit, you know, underrated what Oxlade-Chamberlain's been for them as well, and just all around, I think that, you know, they have added good defensive depth as well, like good quality. Their goalkeeping issues aren't nearly as bad as they used to be. It's all kind of coming together at the right time. And I mean, the last time these two teams played, Liverpool smoked them. So it's hard to not say, like, okay, this is going to be a good matchup. And I think for City, they, as good as they've been, and I personally think they're playing the best, you know, football in all of Europe, they are a pretty young team that hasn't done anything in Europe.
That's the thing, and we've seen that with PSG too sometimes, that when it comes to the sort of business end of this competition, there's a lack of experience with these teams that are storming their leagues. I mean, City, you know, I was watching City with my dad over the holidays, and he doesn't watch soccer, but he's like, wow, they seem to do everything better than the other teams. You know,
oh, it's apparent. It's not even close.
Yeah, you don't have to be a schooled student of the game to just see how much better they are.
I think that this is kind of an interesting time of the season, though, because City's not at their best. They're still, I think, playing the best, but, you know, like, De Bruyne was way better earlier in the season. Sterling was better earlier in the season. Aguero's out hurt right now. I think he should be back, but he was awesome before he got hurt. They, you know, right now their best player is Sané, who's been incredible. He's been pretty good all season, but they have so much talent, so much depth. But when you really look at what makes them go, it was De Bruyne was when they were at their best. Sterling was, you know, his pace was killing everybody. A lot of those things are, I don't think Liverpool is at all in fear of that, because they've seen it.
They've experienced it. Yeah, they know
and,
it.
And they've they done pretty it. Well against it. So when you come up against a team that you know you can beat, and you're in this competition, and frankly, for Liverpool, it's Champions League a bust. I mean,
this is also the point where Guardiola, with his Bayern teams, you know, they usually get to the stage of the competition having already sealed up the domestic league.
Yeah.
And they would take their foot off the gas a little bit, and it's what got them knocked out, you know, 3 years in a row around the stage of the competition.
I think it was like semifinals is what he would get to. But, I mean, yes, it's – I think the Klopp versus Guardiola thing is an interesting dynamic as well, because I think, if I remember correctly, Klopp kind of got the better of him early, and especially in the club – in the cup competitions, but by the end of it, he couldn't do anything, and Guardiola pretty much ran him out of Germany. So,
yeah.
I mean, it kind of just crumbled because Pep came and just dominated. But I think that kind of goes more towards the league side. If I remember, I think he still even won a German cup on the way out over Pep.
Yeah, he did.
And it's like, you know, in the cup competitions, I'm not one to bet against Jurgen, and I don't think the Pep and Jurgen Klopp dynamic is necessarily all entirely one-sided, and when you're playing in these type of like two-leg winner-take-all deals.
Here's a wild card that I every year we always look at this as kind of like a big thing. What's going on in the domestic league? And you kind of touched on the races and stuff like that. Let me throw this in there. So both teams are going to play, obviously, they're going to play each other on April 4th, and then on April 7th, they both have Premier League matches. City has got the Manchester Derby at the Etihad. Tough match, right? Liverpool's kicking back over here saying, ha-ha, that's awesome, we get to go. Oh, wait. They're playing the Merseyside Derby the same day. Then they both get back at it in the Champions League next Tuesday. So both teams have huge, their biggest rivalry games, arguably, over the weekend. So how does that play into it? I don't know. But as you said, the Liverpool is playing for the Champions League more now. You know, I'm not saying they're not going to go out there and win in the Merseyside Derby. I'm just saying that City's got their eye on the league. They got their eye on in like three or four different directions. Liverpool's got their eye on that one thing. So does the fact that there's that huge bump in the middle of that huge distraction, if you will, in the middle of this tie play any part? It might.
I think that's more of a distraction for Man City than it would be for Liverpool, because as much as the Merseyside Derby is historically a big deal, it's also, and for anybody who's deciding which game to watch, skip the Merseyside Derby. It's like genuinely awful football normally. It's like known for red cards more than anything else. And if I'm Jurgen Klopp, I'm sitting all three of my front guys. Yeah. I'm not trying to do anything
then
that
again,
much. Because, like, who cares?
It is, in a way, Mourinho fixture, too. So we all know how those usually end.
Yeah.
Even with
I mean, but see, for Pep, it's more about, like, still making a statement and mm-hmm. being dominant over Jose. And it kind of gets into the mind games of the managers going back and forth. Liverpool doesn't really have that with Everton right now. Everton's a wreck. It's like, there's no, we need to prove we're the best team in Liverpool.
They need to prove they can stay up.
Yeah, I just don't think that it plays in nearly as much. If I'm, you know, Jurgen Klopp, I'm looking at that fixture laughing, saying, okay, we're going to put out our reserve team. I don't care if we end up losing this match because it's not really going to matter.
Well, then you're going to have Mourinho kind of inserting himself into this through the Manchester Derby. You know, that's
Mourinho seeking attention.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah,
he doesn't do that.
Football heritage, my friends. Football heritage.
Football heritage. All right, so let's move on to speaking of football heritage. Let's move on to a couple of teams that definitely have plenty of football heritage: Real Madrid and Juventus. They met in the Champions League final last year in Cardiff. I was there.
You were
crazy.
That's right.
A heck of a match. Cristiano Ronaldo. Pretty much scored goals. That's what he did. That's what he's been doing. It's kind of what's going on with him right now.
Still a shout out to Mandzukic for that bike. Woo!
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I still honestly, like, everybody lost their minds. The entire press box was like, "What the hell just happened?" Like, I think that's the coolest goal I've ever seen live. And at the time, it was to, you know, tie it up, I believe, or take the lead.
I think it was the tying goal.
Yeah. It was. But I just remember everybody being like losing their damn minds, and I was high atop the press area. In any case, this match should be very interesting. Juve's kind of taken a bit of a lead in Serie A now, so they should be in a little bit more comfortable spot than they were. They might, you know, be able to rotate their squad a little bit. Dybala seems like he's back healthy, and not just seems like he's back healthy. He played a major role in getting them where they are now in the quarterfinals. But right now, the story is definitely Cristiano Ronaldo and Real Madrid. Ronaldo is scoring insane amounts of goals, insane amounts. Joey, how do you see this one playing out?
I wonder, in the last round when Juventus was, frankly, outplayed by Tottenham for most of the two legs, it just seemed like they had this kind of big game experience that was able to pull them through.
Football heritage.
Football heritage, indeed. And I wonder if that's going to be, that was enough against a club like Tottenham, which still doesn't have that European pedigree. I wonder if it's going to be enough against Real Madrid, because no matter how much they've stumbled during La Liga, and they're back on track, they're going to make the Champions League in La Liga again this year. I just they've been so good in this competition so far, and yes, the Neymar injury hurt PSG in the last round, but if we're being frank, I mean, I'm not sure that Real Madrid doesn't go through anyway, because they're just... Put it this way, I'm done picking against them in this competition until I actually see them lose with my own eyes. And the fact that they get to go on the road first, I remember at this time last year, I think it was against Roma, but I could be wrong, Ronaldo scored two goals, I think, in the first away leg. And that kind of just, they won 2-0, it put it away, and going back to the Bernabeu. And I wonder if they're, I think that Real Madrid's going to try to approach it this way this year, because even though Juventus's defense is typically tough, you know, Real Madrid has shown the ability to score on them in the past. Ronaldo has shown the ability to score on pretty much anybody. So I think it's going to be an entertaining affair. I think you're ultimately going to see maybe a 4-2 aggregate for Real Madrid, something like that. But I think that never will they really be threatened by Juve.
Yeah, I just want to add in a quick stat. Ronaldo has scored in each of his last 8 games for Real Madrid for a total of 17 goals.
Jeez.
I think he's in form.
He's 33, too. Like, he's not, you know, he is slowing down maybe a little, but, like, come on, he's great.
I've been saying this since last year, which is, yeah, sure, he's slowing down, but if there's a loose ball in the box and it falls to Cristiano Ronaldo, I'm putting money that he will score the goal.
Yeah.
And that seems to be Real Madrid's strategy, which is, hey, just get in the box. We'll find a ball that'll find your feet and or your head, and you will score it. And it seems to work in the Champions League.
That late career transformation into like kind of like an out-and-out number 9 is working out for him. And again, when you're talking about, oh, maybe he's slowing down a little bit, well, if he's going 100 miles an hour and now he's going 90 or 80 or so, that's still pretty good. So
still pretty fast. Yeah.
All right, so let's did you want to add something, Alex?
Nothing really. I mean, I agree with Joey. I think, you know, Real Madrid is pretty much the clear favorite. But if there is an upset in this round, then I think that it's potentially would be Juve, just because they are having a good season. I think both these teams are kind of clicking into form at the right time. So I think it's going to be a good time, but I do think Real Madrid just seems to – they're just a better team.
Yeah, so these two first matchups I think are considered the more competitive matchups.
Yes.
I think it's safe to say, because I personally, you know, yes, Man City is definitely the favorite over Liverpool, but I think that if Liverpool beat Man City, we would not, like, lose our minds. At the same token, I think if Juve topped Real Madrid, we would not go insane. I think we'd all be like, yeah, we could see that. It happened. Now, if Sevilla beats Bayern or you know, Barcelona gets knocked out by Roma, it would be surprising. Roma's been playing a lot better, but let's start first with Bayern. Alex, what do you think about this matchup, and what do you like Bayern's chances?
Yes, I do. I like Bayern's chances. You know, all due respect to Sevilla, who were, you know, really, really good against Manchester United. I mean, I know most of the time we just slagged off how poor Manchester United were, but...
Boy, were they poor.
They were, but Sevilla were good and certainly deserve to be here. But we're talking about a Bayern team that's just pretty much firing on all cylinders right now, and... I think Jupp Heynckes is back in the driver's seat, and he knows how to win this competition. He knows how to get the best out of that team.
For those not familiar with Jupp Heynckes' CV, he came out of retirement last time around to do the treble, and then he retired again. and the man is not young, but so he was like, all right, I'm done with this. And then Bayern was in shambles again this year. And so he came back again to rescue them, and now I think they're still in the German Cup, so they could potentially do another treble, which would be the club's second treble because Jupp Heynckes got the first. It's kind of it's crazy, but he is the miracle worker. If he was like 20 years younger, I think they might just give him lifetime appointment.
I mean, I think they want to up his contract. They want to
re-up
but
he
it.
Wants to retire.
Yeah, well, he did retire.
Twice.
Yeah. But and you add to that, you got a couple of these players at Bayern who are probably sort of at their last run at this with Ribery and Robin. Like, I don't think how many more Champions League campaigns these guys have in them. So I think that's going to give them a little extra incentive. And I won't be at all surprised to see Bayern Munich in the final. But they'll certainly... They'll certainly get past Sevilla. It would be a shocker for them not to.
To me, that's the key. Heynckes, when he was brought in, when they sacked Ancelotti, it's just he's kind of lit a fire under some of these aging stars. You know, Lewandowski, Müller, they're not old yet. They're still in, what, their 20s or at least 30 by the latest. Like, so they're not aging out of being stars, but they're just kind of – there was this complacency that seemed to be growing around the club, and maybe it was a reaction to Carlo Ancelotti that was negative. But he seemed to have lit a fire under those guys. And in the last round, you know, I think they're going to have actually kind of take a similar approach they did to the last round. The first leg against Besiktas, they won 5-0. And Besiktas had a chance for about the first half of the first tie where – you know, maybe Bayern wasn't quite as sharp as they should be, and then the goals just exploded. Müller scored twice, Lewandowski scored twice, Coman scored once, and they won that going away 5-0, and then from there it was kind of a formality. And this time around, now that they're on that game was at the Allianz Arena, and so now that they're on the road for the first leg of this tie against Sevilla, I think that they're going to try to do the same thing, and they're going to if they put a four spot on the board and it's 4-0 heading back to the Allianz Arena, then they can kind of treat the second one as a formality again and maybe not tax themselves as much as they would have otherwise. Yeah, but yeah, there's just I don't see how Sevilla wins here. I don't think they should be here, frankly. If Mourinho attacks in that second leg at Old Trafford, who knows if they're even here? So all due respect to Sevilla, Bayern's too good.
November 25, 2017 was the last time Bayern Munich lost a match.
It's a while ago.
Yeah.
That's wow. Thanksgiving. Yeah. Wow. Since then, we've had Christmas, New Year's, my birthday.
Oh, happy belated birthday. This is awkward.
It was like a month and a half ago.
The Olympics.
The Olympics. Also, we're in the NCAA tournament, and Bayern still has not lost.
And yeah. Zlatan coming to LA, too.
Zlatan beat Bayern Munich. Or Zlatan made his way to LA before Bayern Munich found a way to lose.
So speaking of unbeaten records, a nice little transition here.
Nice.
Barcelona still has not lost a league match, and they are still unbeaten in the Champions League as well, as they trot on to potentially doing invincible treble? Yeah. Invincible double invincible treble? All right. Now, we're just getting crazy with this. But Barca has been pretty damn good. Mainly Messi has been out of his freaking mind, the best player on the planet currently. And I don't think there's really too much of an argument to be made there. Like, Man City's kind of had different guys that have come and gone during the season, and they've probably been the best team overall, you could argue. But Messi has been the best player, period. He turns up every time his team needs it. And against Chelsea in the round of 16, he was so next level that he did literally everything to get them through in that tie. I mean, it was incredible. He outplayed Chelsea by himself, it seemed like. This is another one where I'm not sure I see, like, Roma has been a lot better in the second half of the season. Dzeko had that goal to slip them through. I just don't think that Barca is going to get knocked out by Roma. Joey, what's your feeling on this tie?
I don't think they are either. I will say this. I honestly think this is the toughest matchup of any of... I mean, you know, we went through the first two matchups, and those four clubs are obviously giants of the game. And then Bayern Munich is one, and Barcelona is one as well. But I don't know if Roma is too far beneath that tier. And I think that Alisson and Net has been very good for them. Dzeko is in form. They had a really tough time getting through Shakhtar Donetsk in the last round. They lost the first leg 2-1, but they got that valuable away goal. Then Dzeko put the tie to bed with a goal at home in the next match. And it's kind of like... That there is, it's almost better to be challenged at that point, because now you're facing obviously the ultimate competition in Barcelona and that attack. And so while I think their defensive quality is going to help greatly against Messi and company, and while I don't think they're quite good enough to get past Barcelona, man, I think this is the toughest draw of any one of those, or I think it's a tougher draw than Bayern Munich, put it that way.
Of the Bayern Munich,
yeah, of
and
the
Barcelona.
Bayern, yeah. I was about to say that it was, and I was like, nah, I'd rather play Roma than, you know,
Juventus
and Liverpool.
I think that this is going to be another example of where you're going to just see the quality kind of rise. And I think, you know, having Messi the type of form he's in, hopefully the international break doesn't, you know, knock him off his stride. But for all intents and purposes, I think there's just no reason to bet against Barcelona here. How are you feeling, Alex?
I would basically back Barcelona to beat any team in this competition at this stage, more or less.
Including City?
Yeah, I would. And this is a pretty good Roma team. Like, they beat Chelsea 3-0. They drew Chelsea 3-3. They held Atletico to a draw. They had some good, impressive performances up until now in the competition. Certainly, they're capable of possibly winning a leg of this tie, but I think over two legs, that I think Barcelona is could be, as I said, could beat any team in this competition over two legs right now.
Yeah, I wonder. I think it wouldn't be surprising to see Roma win their home leg, but Barcelona still get a goal at least, and then, you know, from there at the Camp Nou, that's a big ask of Roma.
Is there anything scarier than playing in the Champions League at the Camp Nou? as an away team, is there anything?
I can't think of anything really.
So that's, yeah, like you want to say like the Bernabeu, but it's so open of a stadium, and it's so like kind of it's just got a colder feel like that. I've never been to the Camp Nou personally, but it's just what it's like. 100,000 people.
I mean, well, it just sounds like the football equivalent of a glorious
death. It's a cauldron, man. I mean, if you can't go to Old Trafford on a European night, maybe Anfield fits in this conversation somewhere, but. I think it's hard to argue against that.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to go to Camp Nou, I think, three or four times in the last 3 years. Caught multiple games there. And it is your ears pierce when they whistle, because all that sound rises. And there are, you know, about 100,000 people. I think closer to 90, but still. It feels like 100,000 people. But the pitch is wider there. They have a little more space to pass the ball around, control it. It's everything about it. You know, all those tactics that we would always see about teams kind of like letting the grass grow, all that stuff kind of goes out the window. And those are all tactics that teams used to kind of calm down Barcelona. When they get to the Camp Nou, there's no calming them down. That's it. They play their game, and seemingly no one can keep up with them. And, you know, the Chelsea match was a perfect example, because Chelsea sure had chances and stuff, but it's just something about the Camp Nou. And, you know, when Messi's on to the Camp Nou and they're chanting his name, which I've been privileged enough to be present for when that stuff's going on. It's a different level of atmosphere. And in the Champions Leagues, it just, it's again, it's crazy. I'd be surprised if Barcelona doesn't make it to the final. So I'm kind of with Alex on this one. Right now, I would not bet against them. That said, I hope we get an El Clasico double legs in the semifinals.
We haven't had one of those in the Champions League since, what, 2011 or something?
I mean, since Jose was back then. I think Pep was there too.
Oh, that was back when we had about 10 Clasicos in like 3 months.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? It would kind of be the same thing because if – actually, no. Yeah, it would be because I believe the next Clasico in between the first and second leg of the semifinals. Mm-hmm. So if it happens, we would get like 3 Clasicos in 10 days, which would be awesome.
All right. I guess we'll take that. I'll take it.
All right. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But right now, it seems like the consensus picks are Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, and who am I forgetting on the
Man City.
Yeah, man. I will say that one's the closest for me. Although Juve also is close. I don't know. I think it's going to be fun. I think we have 6 teams that we believe in and 2 that we're
and
like...
And then there's... we have 7 teams that we could believe could progress, and then Sevilla.
Yeah. Oh, Sevilla. Anyway, so I think we're going to wrap this up. For Alex Baker and for Joey Galino, this is Shahan Ahmed. Thanks for listening to our Champions League... set piece, we called it?
Let's do that.
Set piece.
Yeah. All right. Have a good day. Bye.